Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But the biggest thing that stands out of all the things, you know, we knew when we made this decision, you know, some time back in the direction where we're launching, you know, VFN TV and the daily radio program to the world, you know, and now we're reaching all the way to Africa and to Japan and all over America and just all over. Mm-hmm. And we knew, we're not blind in what we've done. I mean, we know what we're doing.
Right.
And because all this technology is leading to one thing, it's leading to being able to track and have an economy that can be managed worldwide and a tracking system that can be managed worldwide. What we're doing is we're reaching you in this. We're saying, listen, we want to save a few. We want to be able to reach out in the midst of all of this and use the technology to be able to bring and encourage you as long as we can actually do it. We don't know how long, you know, prophetically, if you read the future and what's taking place, I mean, it's given at some point this kind of freedom that we have at this moment to be able to do what we're doing, you know, might not be available to us at that particular time, because you'll notice that, you know, they start ruling out, pulling God's name off of everything, God's commandments down. They start the acknowledgement of God, they pull it down. And in Europe right now, they have some organizations that are organizations, church organizations that are telling people, do not put signs up that says God is a healer. I mean, all the way to the point now, even his attributes of God,
wow,
that God's a healer.
Wow.
And what the devil's wanting to do, what the enemy's wanting to do through those who he has captured to do his will, who he's probably offended in some way and has captive, is to just anything, any acknowledgement whatsoever about God, which shows you, by the way, how awesome God is, that he has to work that hard, hard to deny the very God that's giving you breath. You know, it's like, relax. If he wasn't real, you wouldn't have to worry about nothing. But the fact he's real, you're creating all this havoc and stuff. God, I mean, the very fact Israel exists, it's only 60 miles wide at its widest point, and you can't take it out. That's why you can't take it out. It just shows how awesome God is. God uses the little things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And why the name of Jesus? I mean, of all names, why does that name, invoke so much?
Because it's the name above every name, man.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that something? I mean, no one says, oh, Muhammad.
No.
But why would you want to take the Lord's name in vain? It's just, I mean, it's the power in that name and come against it. I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready about even how it's acceptable that politicians now are, you know, they want to know their religious beliefs, they believe in God, and even the media tends to ignore it and not give too much attention to it. But as soon as a believer in everyday life begins to not only proclaim Jesus, but live for him and do what Jesus called them to do, then all of a sudden they're persecuted, they're attacked. It's like, wait a minute, this is such a double standard. You know, let's get real.
Right. And, this, and you know, and it just the very fact, you know, we're called, by the way, this is, somebody says, what's your calling? I'm called to be a singer where I belt out tones that cause people to admire me. And somebody says, you know, what's your calling? Oh, my calling is to prophesy. I tell people about the future, what's going to happen in their life, and they really run to me. And some people say, you know, well, what's your calling? Well, my calling is to be an orator. I bring in rhymes and nice words and enticing things that just cause people to appreciate me. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that, now listen, I'm only drawn into me because I'm drawn to the Lord. But our calling is this. This is our calling. Our calling is to suffer for doing good.
Mm. All right.
We're to do good and be told we're doing bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, this is commendable. This is commendable. Mm. We got to get this. Right? Didn't Peter say this? He said, listen.
Yes, he did.
He said, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out there and you're going to do good. Do really, really good.
Right.
And then they're going to tell you you're really, really bad. And you're going to respond really, really right.
Right.
Not to be in defending yourself.
Right.
And the Lord's going to go, this is commendable. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
And then you're going to do this over and over and over again. And finally, church, finally you're moving in your calling. Your calling is not to get a popular vote with men. Your calling is to be unpopular with the world and popular in heaven.
That's right.
That's your call. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to win the popularity with men, once you've won it with men, you've lost it with God. I mean, you think about this. You think about this, that the gospel that's being preached today in some areas of America is the fact that, you know, when you look at Jesus' ministry, when he's just awesome and he's walking on the face of the earth, and, you know, once the glory was his glory was revealed at the wedding, and he turned the water into wine, not just wine, but the best wine. That he just began to heal and deliver, and all these things were happening. And he gets to a certain point, you know, that, and he had the Pharisees that were coming against him. He had the Sadducees coming against him. And they, you know, the reason why they're called Sadducees, because they're sad, you see. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want Jesus. So all these things, he signs, wonders, miracles, everything he's doing, you know, and it's just powerful. And he gets to a certain point, and he talks, you know, he says, listen, it's got a big, huge crowd around him. You know, the crowd's there. And he goes, and listen to me. And of course, you can hear Peter, like, clapping his hands. Okay, guys, listen up. Listen up. Jesus is going to talk here. Jesus is going to talk. You got the tax collector counting everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Hey, we're up 12, right? I mean, all these things are going on. And then all of a sudden he goes, this is Jesus. He goes, unless you eat my flesh, cut his mic. We're going to lose the crowd. Right. The crowd's exactly. Going to go.
Exactly.
Jesus. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, he's in lost his mind. Like, can you not hear it?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he said, drink your blood. First of all, we're Jews and we don't have anything to do with blood.
Right. That's unclean.
It's unclean. And drink your blood, a man's blood.
That's right.
Because they didn't know who he was. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that you can have no part of me. And that's all right. Of a sudden, man, there it goes. Like, Peter's going, like, great. We started off with just a few, and we finally got some people around us the crowd was there. We heard them mooing, and the herd was there, you know, moo. And so with that, you know, they were finally there, and then we finally give Jesus the mic. And when he gets the mic, he sits here and talks about, listen, he's the only way to God, and you're going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. For his flesh is real food, and his blood is real drink. And they're all caught up, and they goes, listen, no. It is not flesh. The flesh counts for nothing. I'm not talking to you about flesh. The words I speak to you are spirit. And they all left.
Yep.
Everybody but his crew was there.
That's right.
You know? And they probably were contemplating it.
But they bought it. He did ask Peter.
Yeah, he did. He did. But they, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and we don't know a reason why Peter said it. You know, where else can I go? He probably he burned all his bridges. But he said that, you know, he said, you know, they're all, every one of them, every single one of them, they said, this is a hard teaching. You know, you're expecting way too much from us. It's going to require us. You know, you're demanding me here, Jesus. And they all left. And Jesus did not run after him and go, oh, please, I'm sorry. I'll change my message. Hey, just like take a sip of my blood and a crumb of my bread, you know. You don't have to take all of me. Just take some of me because I want you to be around a little bit, you know. But the American gospel is the American gospel today. Across America, this is the gospel. No matter how you encountered Jesus, if you were living there in that time in his ministry, whether you're the one that was healed, whether you're the one that he spoke into your life, whether you're the one that knew him when you were growing up, whether you were the one that was following him in that crowd and eating the bread that was when they divided everybody by the 50s and sat around and they multiplied the bread, or whether you're the one that was there in that huge crowd and you heard that message because you were following him until he said that the price is you. You gotta, and all of that, this is what today's gospel says. All those people are saved.
That's right.
Because they had an encounter with Jesus.
That's right.
Every one of them would tell you in America today, they would say every one of those guys are saved.
Yeah. That's what's going on today in the American church, is a no lordship gospel being preached. It's okay to accept them as Savior, but not as Lord, the boss, you know, of our lives. And he was saying, wait a minute, I was with you. I was with you for the blessing. I was with you for the good stuff. What do you mean drink your blood and eat my flesh? You want me to do something? You want to come and lead my life and be in charge of my life? And it's until we surrender and say, you know, he is Savior and Lord. That's boss, king, ruler of my life. And that's the gospel that needs to be preached.
Well, and the whole thing is that I don't know how we divided the kingdom from the king, the lordship from Savior. But, you know, he didn't say go preach salvation. He said go preach the kingdom. And now we've turned preaching the kingdom into preaching getting saved. Just get in. Just get in. Get in. Get in. Get in. First of all, get in what? And why did you not bring up, you know, Matthew 6:33? It's confusing me here because you preach salvation, but he told me I got to seek first the kingdom. And you don't even know what the kingdom is. And are you even in the kingdom? And that are you part of the ones that say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach? And people, he's like, but I never knew you. Because if you don't know the kingdom, if you don't know the king, you don't know his kingdom. If you don't know the kingdom, you don't know the king. It's the king's dominion. Lordship means the king has dominion over your life. Perfect? Absolutely not. Aware that you need desperately need Jesus and the empowerment of his spirit to walk this out? Yes. Knowing that God is more than willing to be able to partner with you or to lead you and understand his grace for that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this fact about preaching, you know, just salvation, you know, that what happens today, just they would think today, you would describe that ministry, those people that encountered Jesus, that they knew Jesus, and it's like, yeah, they're kind of going through a rough time right now. You know, they got offended with a message that was preached because it was really hard. It required more of them than they
were
willing
there,
to give.
You're going there. This
and,
is good.
Yeah, they're willing to give. Well, that's what you told me. I'm reading your notes, John. And then, but they would say they're saved. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. Listen, you stand alone before the throne of God. Don't be listening to everybody. Don't go ask somebody, am I saved? Right. You know that you're saved. If you got to ask somebody, do you know Jesus? The answer is no, but you can.
That's right.
Right.
You know, because you stand alone. They're not. Whoever you're asking is not going to be there. And if they told you yes, they may never be there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because how could they tell you what you're supposed to know that your own spirit bears witness that is true? You know, the enemy's turned a relationship with Jesus Christ into religion. And so people just look at these religious rules and things, and it's like, I'm doing all this like the rich young ruler did, but he's going to, no, you don't understand. It's going to cost you everything.
Yeah.
And he left them.
Accepting Jesus is not like going on Facebook and doing a like button. You know, it's not as easy as clicking like and keep it moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Didn't you hear something about that? Like if Jesus had a Facebook, who was that?
Yeah, it was me. If Jesus, we have to get this and put it on the torch. But I saw a video of Jesus had a Facebook, and it's exactly what you were just talking about. The crowds were there, and everyone gathered, and and I love the blessing, and give me more, and I love that message. I love the good news message. But but lordship, and as soon as he started talking about eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he started getting unlikes, unlikes, unlikes. And one by one.
The Pharisees unfriended me.
Oh.
You know, you don't have to settle for religion. You can truly have an awesome relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. And religion is just hanging around. Oftentimes, Steve Hill says it's hanging around the cross, but religion is getting on the cross. It's following him. It's giving our lives for the one who's ransomed us, who rescued us. There is no other response. Like Peter said, Lord, you know, where else would I go?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, and we are going to get back to the 10 things you probably don't know about Google. But the fact is that when the people who were following Jesus walks away from Jesus because he speaks to something that cost them in their flesh, the only thing that was following Jesus was the flesh, because it made no sense, because at that time it's like a shock to them. You're just shocked because, you know, your flesh is not being satisfied. It's not being given what it wants. And I want to apologize. I want to apologize to you for, you know, everybody that tried to entice you by your flesh to bring you to Jesus.
Mm.
And now they tell you, you're going to have to die to the very thing that they used to entice you.
Mm, that's so true.
The thing is, you just have to preach the love of God. You know, let him know that he loves you, first of all, and he has a plan for your life. And that and it's an awesome thing. You can't add to God. I mean, you can't. I mean, you can put a foosball table in if you want to, but you know what I'm saying? you may be distracting people from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can throw games in there, and games are pretty cool, but if you attracted me by my flesh, why do you criticize me because of my flesh?
That's right.
And in the day that I'm going to hear Jesus' words, when somebody comes is going to come tell me the truth, I'm going to walk away from God, what I perceived I was with God, because you never told me it's going to cost me everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear this message, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. The flesh counts for nothing. It's like, wait a minute. All those years of foosball?
That's right.
All those years of basketball and all the things that we did?
Isn't there a video game I'm supposed to get or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and you lured me by my flesh, and now the only hope for you to keep a crowd is to keep on feeding the flesh. But the problem is that crowd, unless they know Jesus Christ, you know, I got news for you. It's not going to be good in the end. Right. It's not going to be good in the end, because the message today is all those people that encountered Jesus, no matter what they're doing at that moment, that they're going to be in a better place when they die.
And that's the one biggest lies that's being said out there, you know? Every time, you know, I get it. People are trying to console someone, but the truth is like if they didn't want nothing to do with God here, they did not want to spend any time in His Word, if they didn't want to follow His ways, you know, they didn't want to go to be amongst the people of God. They said no to church. They said no. Why would you torture them and tell them they are going to be in a better place?
Wouldn't that be terrible, you know, that they denied them here and then God's going to force them to be with them there? I mean, it's not going to happen.
What do you think they're going to be doing there? I mean,
you're right. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're always with Jesus here. Is there some other place in heaven you can go to? It's like, it's not going to be that way. And it's this bride that's longing for the bridegroom.
That's right.
It's this desperate longing for our Lord and our Savior. And he's awesome, by the way. Let me tell you something. Despite what your flesh may be stimulated by and all these different things, and despite the message being promulgated across the land that if you encountered Jesus somewhere, if you went to some authentic encounter with an authentic Jesus somewhere, but then you walked away from Him, you need to turn back to Him.
Right.
Don't say everything's okay. If you're living in adultery, if the Lord was come back today, you're not going.
That's right. You're not
going to be there. You know, if you once walked with God, this is Ezekiel 33, and we'll talk more about that. But you know, you did all these righteous deeds and you did what was right, but you turn your back on God. This is what He says in Ezekiel. He says, no matter what you did was right, it will not be remembered. But I got good news for you. If you were wicked up to that point, which is immoral and doing all these things, and just totally just worst case scenario, and you go, here I am, God, I want you. Forgive me. I want you to make you the Lord of my life. He says He will remember not one wicked thing. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's why I love
Him. Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's so good. It's just like, but you only win if you choose Jesus.
That's right. If you make
Him the Lord of your life. So I want to encourage you today. Don't listen to those and get crowded up with those who, when they refuse to lay their pick up their cross and deny themselves to follow Jesus, which He says, you will not have no part of me, you know, don't hang with that, you know, witness to them and let them know it's going to cost you everything. Your salvation is free, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And it's a small price to pay for eternity with God. You know what I'm saying?
He's truly enough, right?
Oh, my goodness. How could you add to him? We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.